Hi, friends, and welcome to a special edition of the Ed Boston Podcast. It is our weekly edition, but we wanted to do things a little bit differently today, and we want to pay honor and tribute to our 41st president, George H.W. Bush. President Bush passed away on Friday, and I thought, well, it is only appropriate that we do something special here. Yes, it's going to be. I got to tell you, I've been meaning to get this recorded for several hours now, and I just couldn't get to it for watching all of the special events that were being broadcast today, him leaving the airport in Texas and flying to D.C., them getting him to the U.S. Capitol, and the specialness that is when they are transporting the body from the vehicle that brought it into the rotunda at the Capitol, the precision and the pomp and circumstance that takes place. And so I'll watch through that part, and then I'll record. And then the speeches started, and I couldn't pull myself away to start doing the podcast. And so here we are now doing it. If you're not listening to this live, then I guess that doesn't matter. But I wanted to share that because to me it's important as I have great respect for the 41st president. He wasn't my favorite president. I'll tell you that up front. But I had great respect for him and believe that, by and large, he was a good president. I don't believe he did things that hurt our country or damaged our country. And so with that backdrop, I want to pay special respect to him and his family and his legacy this evening. I'm having some computer issues right now. It actually happened while the song was playing. I got the show started, and then all of a sudden my computer went dead. So that's where all my notes are, and I'm trying to bring that up real quick. So I'm multitasking. I wanted to bring up the song that was played to open, and that was Amazing Grace by the Oak Ridge Boys. I saw them being interviewed today, and several interesting things about that interview. They will be singing Amazing Grace at the funeral for the 41st president. they were good friends with him, and they had to have special arrangements made in order to be at the funeral. They had a person who gave them a plane to use to fly out after a concert the night before, fly in to do the music there, the song Amazing Grace, which was one of the favorites of the president. And then immediately when that's over, to fly back and do a concert that evening. To me, it talks about the integrity of the group, not canceling things out, but making sure that they were able to do something that was very important to them. And you could tell that as they were being interviewed. They told a story about Barbara Bush calling them at one point when the president was very ill and put them on the phone with him, and they sang the song Elvira, which if you know anything about the Oak Ridge Boys, that's maybe their most well-known hit. And then they followed that up by singing Amazing Grace to him. And Barbara said that she believed that that had some healing powers. And they tell that story fondly. Another person, and again, I'm going by memory here because my show notes are all on my computer, and maybe my computer will pull up here shortly. Lee Greenwood as well was good friends with George W. Bush, and I read a story about him talking about traveling with President Bush on the election trail and singing his song, God Bless the USA, and the fond memories he had as well. Now, I'm going to try. It's going to be a busy week for me because I have a funeral to do, basically coinciding with everything that is going on with President Bush and his I was trying to think of the word I looked up earlier. I looked up a website earlier, not a word earlier. The state funeral, that's what I looked up. And so all the activities that go with that, the things that led up to today, the actual Washington, D.C. part of things, and then the D.C. part of things, and then the final parts that have to do with back in Texas. And as I was reading that and putting my notes together, and I just totally caused myself to lose my train of thought thinking about this computer. Oh, I know what I was talking about. Let's get that thought back. The funeral that I have to do this week is a tough one for me. I say a young man. To some of you, you might think he's old. To others, you're going to think that he's just a young whippersnapper. He was 51 years old. So to me, he was a young man that I've known nearly all of his life. Probably met him when, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, maybe even a little before that. He was my brother's age. They played football together, and I've basically known him ever since. And he passed away Friday as well. And he, when you have to do funerals of people you're fairly close to, they're difficult, but I find great reward in it because I do my very best to bring comfort to the family in their time of grief, and that helps me to know that I'm doing the right thing. So busy this week, but my plan is I posted a story today on edboston.com that is basically my show notes for the program. And maybe my computer is finally cooperating a little bit. So it was my show notes and several links of things that you can read about President Bush, the 41st president of the United States. I hate to keep referring to things, but being that there are two presidents with basically the same name, and I prefer just to refer to President Bush, who passed away, as President Bush, and I don't like to add the HW in there because that's not really what we called him while he was president. Kind of had to when his son George W. Bush became president in order to not. So for the rest of the show, I think I will just call him President Bush, and we will know that we are talking about the 41st president of the United States. The goal to get another article in the next couple of days up that has links to numerous quotes from individuals all over the world that have spoken out and talked about President Bush. The Elk Ridge Boys, Lee Greenwood, political figures, figures around the world, friends. There is so much to be shared and to do that there at edboston.com. I'm going to try. My computer is still causing me problems here. And I thought I had it turned on, and it just went black again. Not sure what's going on. It's worked all day long just fine. And so I'm going to go another route, and hopefully I don't hang up on the show here, and see if I can pull my notes up on my phone. Plan B. It's always good to have a plan B. Even if you didn't plan it to begin with, you can get to plan B a lot easier than what you used to be able to. And so here I go to edboston.com on my phone and check this out. Here are my show notes right in front of me now. And watch this. My computer is going to come up right as I do this. I'm relatively sure that will probably happen. The first place that I want to go and talk about is a story that I read that basically is the obituary for President Bush. It talks a lot about his full life and here was where I wanted to start at as reading as basically an obituary. George Herbert Walker Bush was born June the 12th, 1924 in Milton, Massachusetts, into the New England elite, a world of prep schools, mansions, and servants seemingly untouched by the Great Depression. His father, Prescott Bush, the son of an Ohio steel magnate, made his fortune as an investment banker and later served 10 years as a senator from Connecticut. George H.W. Bush enlisted in the Navy on his 18th birthday in 1942, right out of prep school. He returned home to marry his 19-year-old sweetheart, Barbara Pierce, daughter of the publisher of McCall's Magazine, in January 1945. They were the longest married presidential couple in United States history, and she died on April the 17th, 2018. One of the youngest pilots In the Navy, he flew 58 missions off the carrier, the USS San Jacinto. He had to ditch one plane in the Pacific and was shot down on September the 2nd, 1944, while completing a bombing run against a Japanese radio tower. An American submarine rescued Bush. His two crewmates perished, and he received the Distinguished Flying Cross for bravery. After leaving the military, Bush resumed his education at Yale University. Lean, athletic, and standing 6'2", he distinguished himself as the first baseman and captain of Yale's baseball team and played in the first ever College World Series in 1947 and again in 1948. He also distinguished himself in the classroom, taking just 2.5 years to graduate Phi Beta Kappa. After Yale, he headed to the oil fields of West Texas, where he and partners helped found Zapata Petroleum Corporation in 1953. 6 years later, he moved to Houston and became active in the Republican Party. In politics, he showed the same commitment he displayed in business, advancing his career through loyalty and subservience. He was elected to Congress in 1966 and served 2 terms. President Richard Nixon appointed him ambassador to the United Nations, and after the 1972 election, named him chairman of the Republican National Committee, and later he would serve as ambassador to China and head of the CIA. He made his first bid for president in 1980, although he won the early Iowa caucuses. President Reagan went on to win the nomination and select him as his vice presidential running mate. In 1988, the presidential race, Bush trailed the Democratic nominee, Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis, by as many as 17 points that summer. He did little to help himself by picking Dan Quayle, a lightly regarded junior senator from Indiana, as his running mate. But soon, Bush became an aggressor, stressing patriotic themes and flailing Dukakis as an out-of-touch liberal. He carried 40 states, becoming the first sitting vice president to be elected president since Martin Van Buren in 1836. He took office with the humility that was his hallmark. Some leadership as high drama and the sound of trumpets calling, and sometimes it is that, he said in his inauguration, but I see history as a book, fullness and meaning. The new breeze blows, a page turns, the story unfolds. Bush approached old age with gusto, celebrating his 75th and 80th birthdays by skydiving over College Station, Texas, the home of his presidential library. He did it again on his 85th birthday in 2009, parachuting near his oceanfront home in Kennebunkport, Maine. He became the patriarch of one of the nation's most prominent political families. In addition to George W. Bush becoming president, another son, Jeb, was elected Florida governor in 1998 and made an unsuccessful run for the GOP presidential nomination in 2016. The other Bush children are sons Neil and Marvin, and daughter Dorothy Bush Labonde. Another daughter, Robin, died of leukemia in 1953, a few weeks before her 4th birthday. And so we get the outline, basically, the obituary of President Bush and some of the highlights of his life. And I had Ed Henry on the podcast over the weekend, and what a good interview Ed Henry always is, and look forward to having him on the show once again in the future. But Ed went over many of the things that we talked about here in the obituary, and I've got some things that may be repetition, but I've got several things that I know that we didn't talk about on Saturday. And just as I predicted, the computer has come up now that I've put Plan B into action. And I want to get the computer back on because it's much easier to control the switchboard of the show by doing that. And I've got some couple different things of music that I want to be able to play. Let's see what there we go. Back to the notes. As the boy, my computer, I think it's about time to upgrade. Amy probably don't want to hear that, but it seems to be getting that way. Things to know about George W. Bush, H.W. Bush, President Bush. Obviously, there are tons of things in his public service that will be mentioned and have been mentioned. Here are 10 things that maybe you know, but maybe you don't know. President Bush was known to his family as Poppy. His wife and her husband was named, his wife said her husband was named after his maternal grandfather, also known as Pops. So the younger Bush was called Little Pops, and the nickname evolved into Poppy, which Bush hated as he got older, but it was hard to break such a long-standing habit. His grandchildren knew him as Gampy, a name that he loved and embraced. So, that's as a grandparent, that is something that makes me smile. He met his wife, I won't number these, but the next point, he met his wife at a dance in Greenwich, Connecticut in 1941. He was a senior in high school at age 17. She was 16 and attending school in Charleston, South Carolina, and home for the Christmas season. The band was playing Glenn Miller tunes when he asked her to dance. The music changed to a waltz. He didn't know how to waltz, so they talked. They were married on January 6, 1945, and were the longest married presidential couple. Bush had a lifelong love of the sea and boats, and began in Maine with his grandfather teaching him how to handle and dock a boat. At age 9, he and his 11-year-old brother were first allowed to take out their grandfather's lobster boat by themselves. He wrote in his 1987 book that he loved the physical sensation of steering a powerful machine throttle open. In 2010, to enjoy his home in Maine, he bought a 38-foot fishing boat, Fidelity 5, equipped with three 300-horsepower engines and capable of reaching 75 miles an hour. I find those things interesting. So he liked the sea, but he also liked the air. He was one of the youngest Navy pilots when he was shot down. He parachuted in the Pacific, and we've mentioned this a little bit. He fulfilled a wartime promise to himself to someday skydive just for fun. And in 1977, when he was 73, and over his family's objections, he bailed out over a military base in Arizona to show that old guys can still do stuff. And he later marked his 75th, 80th, 85th, and 90th birthdays with parachute jumps. I've never jumped out of an airplane. I love riding in airplanes. But he proved that, hey, 75, 80, 85, 90, I still got plenty of time. I got almost 20 years before I have to do it the first time, even though obviously his first time was not in a manner that he would have wanted. Baseball, again, we mentioned earlier, first baseman and captain at Yale University. His team lost to the University of California in 1947 in the College World Series. They reached it again the next year and lost to Southern California that year. Bush learned the oil industry in West Texas. Let's see. He was an equipment clerk for an oil field. He drove from New England to Texas in a 1947 Studebaker and ordered his first chicken fried steak, a Texas staple, at a restaurant in Abilene, wondering if it was chicken or steak, but was trying to fit in. The chicken fried steak smothered in gravy became a Bush favorite. A restored 1947 Studebaker, identical to the one he owned, is on display at his presidential museum in Texas A&M. The Gulf War, signature event of Bush's presidency in 1991, when he ordered the troops to Kuwait, he acknowledged that he was prepared for the worst. We feared it would go badly, he told the Associated Press in 2011. Desert Storm went far more clean, far more quickly, far less loss of our lives and Iraqi lives than we worried about. It was very rewarding. A letter to the editor. He wrote one as president, and he wrote that to the New York Times regarding a story about him being out of touch because he didn't know anything about grocery store price scanning machines. He said it was an ugly story and was actually not at a grocery store. He was at a technology convention, and he referred to the person who wrote what he considered the smear story as some lazy little reporter who wasn't even there, and the damn story lived on and on. He wasn't real fond of that because he knew about the technology. He was just making a quote and an observation that made him appear to be totally out of touch. It came out that he'd never been grocery shopping. He'd been a life of privilege and all of that, and how could he be in touch with the American people, which he felt was very disingenuous. Horseshoes. During the White House years, he held two horseshoe tournaments every year, and the teams were made up of people who worked at the White House, including groundskeepers, pilots, cooks, and gardeners. One of the best things we did, he recalled later. He headed the ranking committee, making himself and son Marvin the top seeds. The horseshoe pits were by the southwest gate on the White House grounds, and the sounds of clanging horseshoes could be heard daily as workers practiced ahead of the tournaments. And his final resting place, he told reporters in 2000 when he was released from a Florida hospital that mortality was something he thought about but not fearful of. If you've got faith, you don't think about of it with fear. His burial site behind his presidential mansion museum in College Station, Texas, is near a pond and across a footbridge over a creek where three large post oaks form a semicircle. The loveliest resting spot I have ever seen, Barbara Bush once described it. Their daughter Robin, who we mentioned earlier, died in 1953, was moved to that site, and Barbara was buried there in April of this year. I think it only fitting, and I should have checked this. And I thought that I had this on here. And apparently I don't. So I tell you what, he was very proud of his military days, and this was, I had planned to play Hail to the Chief, which really should be on here. I don't know, maybe it hasn't updated, because I believe I played it on the podcast with Ed Henry, so I'm slowly scrolling by. But what I'm going to play instead fits very well because it is a Memorial Day tribute of the armed forces. And let's see how that goes for us here.
And now, we would like to salute all the men and women who have served in every branch of our armed forces. As the orchestra and chorus perform the Armed Forces Medley, we invite those of you in the audience who have served or who are currently serving to please stand and join in as your song is presented. United States Coast Guard!
Before President Bush was first elected to the House of Representatives in 1966, He already had a career. And no, it wasn't in oil. He'd already been a husband and a father for 2 decades. George and Barbara Bush had 6 children. George W., Robin, Jeb, Neil, Marvin, and Dorothy. All were raised in Texas, first in Odessa and Midland, and then in Houston. The family lived in Midland for 9 years, and the home they lived in is now a museum called the George W. Bush Childhood Home. During the time they lived there, 3 of their children were born, Jeb, Neil, and Marvin. This is where George W. Bush learned his values from his family. He watched hard his dad worked and the impact he had on the community and the way he made friends. Of course, Barbara passed away earlier this year, and we're on to the topic of family. They were married for 73 years. Imagine that. As mentioned earlier, George W. Bush was the oldest, born in 1946, a year after George and Barbara were married. George W. served 2 terms as Texas governor and 2 terms as president of the United States, and was the first son of a president to be elected since John Quincy Adams in 1825. Robin Bush, the second child, is the daughter who died in 1953 with leukemia. If you've not gotten a chance to see the cartoon, I have it posted on edboston.com. And when I say cartoon, just meaning a cartoon drawing, it is very, very, well, it's very touching. At the bottom, it says George Bush, 1924 to 2018. On the left side is a replica of the fighter plane that he flew it in World War II. And the right side kind of depicts an entrance into heaven, and it shows a picture of a drawing of George and Barbara and a little girl between them being Robin, and Barb saying, "We waited for you." Jeb Bush was the next child. Jeb served as the 43rd governor of Florida from 1999 to 2007. Of course, he ran for president this past election cycle in 2016, and that was an unsuccessful bid. Neil Bush is a businessman and chairman to the Points of Light Conference on Volunteering and Service, learning from his parents. Both George and Barbara were active in spreading the spirit of volunteerism. The president launched the Points of Light initiative to promote volunteerism and community service, according to the George H.W. Bush Library Center. Marvin Bush is the youngest son of George and Barbara. He worked in the insurance agency and as an investor. Dorothy Doro Bush Koch is the youngest member of the family. She is the co-chair of the Barbara Bush Foundation for Family Literacy. She's described as a philanthropist, event organizer, and a wellness consultant. When you think of George W. Bush, I don't see how you can think of another word any more important than family. You know, politics was huge, but family was first before politics ever came around. Got a story now that has been circulating, and a wonderful picture that President Bush's service dog named Sully is laying in this picture in front of a flag-draped coffin of the president's remains. And Sully is quite a service dog. He's been with President Bush for his final months that he's been alive, and he traveled today with the president's casket as it was flown from Texas to Washington, D.C. Sully will not retire and will be handed over to another mission. And George W. Bush said this as the picture that I described a minute ago was put up on George W.'s Instagram account. As much as our family is going to miss this dog, we're comforted to know he'll bring the same joy to his new home, Walter Reed, the military hospital in Bethesda, Maryland. Sully has only been with the president since June and was trained by America's Vet Dogs, a nonprofit that provides service dogs. If you haven't been able to see, I'm trying to think of where I posted that. And it may be on, it's on Facebook, I'm certain is where I posted it, the Ed Boston Podcast Facebook page. And it's gotten quite a response since I posted it earlier today. Sully was and is a very well-trained dog. He can open doors, pick up items, and summon help. But more than anything else, the dog is a wonderful companion. And how typical it is of the Bush family in that they will be passing Sully on to someone else, military, that can use Sully in a manner that is needed. Now, what is not being reported heavily, I've heard it mentioned a few times, but not really in depth, is the faith that President Bush had. And at Billy Graham Evangelistic Association website, there is a series of pictures. And again, every one of these stories that I've talked about is linked in the article at edboston.com by the title of Paying Honor and Respect to President George H.W. Bush. So if you go to that story, and the links to everything that I've talked about, it is there for you to enjoy and to look on and at as you have time. And this story is actually just a series of pictures. And the first picture is of Billy Graham and Franklin Graham, his son, standing with three former presidents, being George Bush, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter. They were at the dedication service of the Billy Graham Library in 2017. Next picture shows Billy Graham with then Vice President Bush in 1986. Every U.S. president since World War II has met with Billy Graham. When George H.W. Bush was inaugurated in January of 1989, Billy Graham delivered the prayer. close family friends, Billy and Ruth Graham, visited with the Bush family and President Bush's mother, Dorothy, at Kennebunkport, Maine. In the next picture, President Bush speaks at the dedication of the Billy Graham Library. The 41st president had a deep faith in Jesus Christ. Billy Graham, God's ambassador, Billy Graham says of the president, quote, he says straight out that he has received Christ as his Savior, that he is a born-again believer, and he reads the Bible daily. That's very comforting, I know, to his family who would have known that, but hopefully to many others who may not have known how President Bush stood in his relationship with Christ. October 2002, Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, and President Bush at the Metroplex Mission is the next picture. The Bush and the Graham families vacation together, and the next picture is a Billy Graham, George Bush trip on a boat off the coast of Maine in 1989. Franklin Graham greets former President Bush in Charlotte, North Carolina on the day of the dedication of Billy Graham Library. Billy and Franklin Graham visiting Vice President Bush at Mr. Bush's home in 1986. And there are a couple more pictures that you can look at there. This story called Memories of Former President George H.W. Bush with the Grahams, the link there at edboston.com. I'm so glad that I'm able to do this part of the show, in that maybe you're not hearing much about his faith, but he was a man of faith. And this article coming up now, Remembering Former President George H.W. Bush, again coming from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. If you wanted to go there, billygraham.org is the website. The picture that shows up first is the picture that I used as the main picture on the article that I keep referencing. It's a picture of George Bush on the right, Billy Graham in the center, and Franklin Graham sitting as they are at the groundbreaking for the Billy Graham Library. And I'm going to skim over this because many things have already been said. I don't think it's been mentioned. He has 17 grandchildren, 8 great-grandchildren, and 2 siblings. Franklin Graham had posted on his Facebook page Saturday morning, our deepest condolences to the family of George H.W. Bush, who passed away late yesterday at the age of 94. President and Mrs. Bush were very close friends of my parents and our family through the years. He represented the presidency when politics in our country was more civil. He was a man of character who served our nation during war and led our nation during peace. He was a man of many accomplishments, but one of the greatest was his family, 2 sons to serve as governors and 1 to follow as president of our nation. Our prayers are with the entire Bush family. The family was close enough that former President George W. Bush and the former First Lady Laura came to Charlotte to meet with Franklin Graham after Billy Graham's death this past February. I think Billy touched the hearts of not only Christians, but people of all faith because he was such a good man, President Bush said. I was privileged to have him as a personal friend. Billy Graham, known as pastor to the presidents, wrote in his autobiography, Just As I Am, that he was impressed by how President Bush prioritized his family. For instance, Graham noted how immediately after the 1990 State of the Union address, Bush didn't take a moment to relax. He slipped through the White House just to wish his children good night. On several occasions, President Bush and Barbara visited with Billy and Ruth to vacation together. The environment was way more laid back there in Kennebunkport, Maine, than the White House, and it gave the kids a chance to be kids for the grandchildren to be grandchildren. Faith was never far from the president's mind, though, and one summer he asked Ruth Graham if her husband would talk with the youth present. She suggested they hold a question and answer session. Isn't this just awesome? So that was what we did at Kennebunkport, Graham shared, and just as I am. The young people sat around me, wall-to-wall grandchildren and their friends, and they asked questions, good ones about life and theology that challenged my thinking, and I tried to answer with what the Bible said. The next year and the year after that, the children asked for another Q&A session. Those experiences helped form a personal bond between me and the four Bush sons and one daughter. George W. Bush credits Billy Graham with leading him to Christ. Again, President Bush, his commitment to faith struck Graham, who shared in Just As I Am. The next morning after his sternly uncompromising television announcement the night before, the President of the United States knelt before the Lord at Fort Myer. Father, I just thank you for the example of President George H.W. Bush. I thank you for the fact that he was a good Christian man who believed that faith was of the highest importance. Thank you for his vision as a family man. And I thank you for this example that we just heard from the Billy Graham site, that they were so close as families, but sat around and talking about God, his son Jesus Christ. Thank you again for the example of the president being a good Christian man. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I get ready to finish up the show for today, and I'm looking here to see, we've been at it for almost an hour here. The plan, not definitive yet on when, but I want to get in a second podcast at some point in this week. As I mentioned earlier, I have a funeral myself to do this week, so can't narrow it down to a time frame, but planning on a second special podcast to pay honor and tribute to President George Bush. And we are looking forward to being able to do that. But before I close, I wanted to give some of the events the article here may be a little off, because it was, I'm just now noticing that it was written a couple of days back, talking about the arrival ceremony that just took place earlier this evening. A wonderful, wonderful service and ceremony. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, you know, I'm sure it's all over YouTube. Just Google it and you'll be able to find it. He is laying in state at the United States Capitol building in the rotunda. He'll be there and will be open to the public from 7:30 which was about an hour ago. As I'm doing this live, obviously if you listen later, it's not going to matter that that was an hour ago. It'll be taking place until 7 a.m. Wednesday, at which time there will be a actual funeral service that takes place in Washington, D.C. before he is flown back to Texas for the private family ceremony. Let me tell you a little bit of something about laying in state. When someone lays in state in the Capitol Rotunda, the casket is placed in the center of the room, on a wooden platform that was used for President Lincoln's funeral in 1865. The casket is draped with an American flag, and honor guard stands vigil around the clock. The rotunda is usually permitted to file past the casket after formal and family ceremonies. The last president to lie in state was Gerald Ford in 2007, and before that, Ronald Reagan in 2004. The last two people to lay in state were not presidents, but they were senior Senator Daniel Inouye from Hawaii in 2012 and John McCain earlier this year. If you Google laying in state, there is some interesting information that I came across earlier today. I didn't remember to pull that website up for the podcast, but just Google that, laying in state, and it'll take you to a site where they talk about the preparations and the history and different things. And as I watched today, I was thinking, and even they mentioned the planning that has to go in for something like this, which means they didn't put this on since Friday in a manner that it comes off with such grace and honor and dignity, precision. That has to be a standard plan, and the people participating have to be extremely well-trained in order to participate in that. And it was just, again, if you haven't seen it yet, go to YouTube, and it's just an amazing sight to see. And again, I'm doing this live, and as I glance over to the television that I've had on the entire show on mute, so I can glance over and see things, and I just got a notice on my telephone that President Trump and the First Lady are preparing to pay their respects to President Bush here in just a few minutes. If you paid attention to this podcast for very long, you know that I love United States history. I'm proud to be an American. And as we close the show, I find it only fitting. Oh, I was trying to figure out where that was coming from. You were hearing George Bush in the background. I closed that link now so it doesn't play. He was giving a speech there. But I find it only fitting that we finish the show with another of the president's favorite songs. We made mention of it earlier, that Lee Greenwood was very close with the president. And we'll close with his song, God Bless the USA. God bless you folks for listening. Thank you for being such a supporter of the podcast. And share with others. Share our website, edboston.com. Go out and do the right thing. God bless you, and good night.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and face. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S.